Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
Welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Greg Duvetter, Superintendent of Schools for the Diocese of Orange. Welcome, Mr. Duvetter.
Good afternoon, Rick.
Now, your name is spelled in a way that I don't always get it. Did I say it correctly?
Well, of course. It's said exactly how it's spelled, D-H-U-Y-V-E-T-T-E-R.
Okay. So, do better. And if you don't mind, Greg, I'm going to ask you to lead us in a word of prayer.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, at this time when we remember Catholic schools, let us remember all our children in all of our schools, all the educators, all the principals, everyone who donates to Catholic schools, and let's remember all our children, because all Catholic children deserve the best of education, and we'll continue to make that work in your will. Your will be done, and remembering we're doing everything in your name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And then we have you on in order to talk a little bit this week about a very special week in the year where everyone takes a moment to pause and think about Catholic schools. This is Catholic Schools Week. Can you tell us briefly, before we ask you any other questions, what is Catholic Schools Week supposed to be about?
Sure. Catholic Schools Week always begins the last Sunday in January. So sometimes Catholic Schools Week is mainly in January, sometimes it's in February. But the idea is, right before families are starting to make their choices for the coming year, that we take a time to stop and celebrate the good things that we are doing. The holidays are past. We continue our celebration with our schools to see the good things that we're doing, to tell our story, and to help these families that are still choosing Catholic schools to see the many good things that we have going in our schools.
What a lot of people don't think about, I presume, is that while we're now in January/February, this is the time when Catholic schools start thinking about the following year, and this is when parents need to start thinking about, do I want to have my child join a Catholic school for the following year, isn't it?
Absolutely. I was remarking to Bishop the other day, even though we are only in January and not even technically halfway through the school year, almost all my time is spent now on 17-18. We're all working on that, and this year we are trying to make sure that next year is the best year we've ever had. Every year in January, my goal is to say that next school year is going to be our biggest, it's going to be the best recruiting, and we're going to have more students in than ever before. Families do need to be thinking about Catholic schools, and I know they're thinking about Catholic schools. Many churches last Sunday had a feature about Catholic schools, and some will this coming Sunday. And I hope that many parents are taking the opportunity to tour campuses and think about this for their child, whether their child is entering school or whether their child is already in another school.
Before we go too much further, because I do want to explore an awful lot about what's going on here in the Diocese of Orange with Catholic schools, I want to know a little bit more about you. What's your background? Why is it that you're sitting here now as superintendent of schools? You've been doing this for a while, about 7 years or so as superintendent. What brought you into Catholic education, and what got you to become superintendent?
Well, it was all an accident.
My
whole career could be considered an accident. I was drawn to Catholic education because I was a product of Catholic education. I attended St. Barbara's School in Santa Ana, and I went to Modern Day High School in Santa Ana as well. From there, I left the Catholic school system and went to Cal State Fullerton. And as soon as I finished, I returned again to Modern Day. I thought, well, I'll teach for 1 year, and then I'll leave and find something else to do.
Famous last words.
28 years later, I had been a teacher for 13 years and an administrator for 15 years, and I thought I was going to be at Modern Day High School forever. But the God of surprises always surprises all of us. And one day, just about a year ago right now, I was called by the previous superintendent and vicar for faith formation, Father Jerry Horan, And he said, come and have a cup of coffee with me. Now be careful. Don't ever have a cup of coffee with anybody.
We have him on the air here about what's a butt. So I know Father Jerry and his cup of coffee.
And we got into the cup of coffee and he said, Greg, the bishop has asked me to become vicar of faith formation only, and he would like a full-time superintendent. And we're thinking about you for this position. And I said, well, okay, taking a deep breath. I'll think about it. I have a couple of projects, but probably by June I'll have those finished and I can maybe think about this a little bit more. He said, no, Greg, not June, now. And so 3 weeks later, after 28 years in one place, I was superintendent of Catholic schools. I would never have applied for this position. I would never have even thought of this position. But when the Spirit calls you,
yes,
or when Father Jerry calls you,
that's also
you
true.
You have to think that there's something behind it.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic story. I didn't know that about you. Truth in advertising, I also have come out of Catholic education, but not myself personally. I'm a convert to Catholicism. But I, in a different diocese, I spent a number of years teaching junior high school, and then I was also a principal for a while. So I'm also a big advocate of Catholic schools, but not just because it offers a great education, but because of the whole package that Catholic school brings. It really is a different way of going about education than what you can find elsewhere. Not to denigrate the public school system, but that it's a different package. How would you describe it?
Well, I agree with the last thing you said first. I never want to put down or denigrate our public schools. The majority of Catholic children go to public schools. But I think there is something unique and something wonderful about Catholic schools, because Catholic schools are built first and foremost on the teaching and formation of young Catholic men and women, starting even from the youngest ages. And everything that is done at the schools is built on this foundation. So we have what I call the five pillars of the formation, that you will have catechesis that's taught at all the different levels, so the students learn the realities of their faith. Second, there is going to be prayer and liturgy. Our students pray daily, multiple times daily, and attend liturgy regularly. The third would be service. Many of our schools have service programs. The fourth would be retreats and opportunities like that. And the fifth would be an environment of Catholic, that everything is taught from a Catholic perspective, that a student feels comfortable with their faith. And they're surrounded by the signs and symbols of Catholicism, no matter what the class is. It's a great time to spend morning through late afternoon in a totally Catholic environment. That's something that's provided in a Catholic school. Now, let's layer on top of that some of the absolute best education, using the most modern techniques and preparing our students for the future that they will all face. We make our schools the best in the area, the best of the surrounding schools. So the students achieve at a level. But I think it's that Catholic foundation that really helps them achieve, that pushes them beyond even in their academics.
One of the things that I remember from my days as a principal was that the community that's generated in a Catholic school is unique unto itself. And it's a very powerful, powerful part of that Catholic education. These schools are usually smaller than their neighboring public schools. And the parents, because they're bringing their children and they are paying something, which means they have some skin in the game, so to speak, that there really is an intentionality behind the parents so that they start working together in ways that really generates a kind of a life of its own. And I saw that as being a chief strength. How would you describe in the Diocese of Orange how that works in the individual, start with elementary schools? Do you see that as well?
Absolutely, and I see it filling in for what is a gap in our culture right now. Many of the traditional places where parents have gotten together to form community, to serve each other, to do good things, don't exist at the level that they once did. Some of our traditional fraternal societies and other things where people used to spend their time, they don't exist at the same level. Catholic schools tend to be the place where parents come together with a joint mission towards serving their children and getting to know each other and enjoying each other. Catholic schools are one of the best things that keep parishes together because the parishioners in the Catholic school are automatically tied to the parish. And when a parish reaches out to the school and the school reaches out to the parish, you start creating that bigger community that we're trying to do in all of our areas. But we'll often see the place where a person's link to their church gets reanimated is going to be through their school experience. People often not even associated with their church will put their student in a Catholic school, and through their participation, they start becoming more involved with the church again. And so it brings not only students to the church, but their parents often as well.
So this becomes a generator of Catholic faith, not only for the children, but for their entire family, and therefore the entire parish.
Absolutely. It is something that is really an important thing that I try to always explain to new families, and talking to parishes about this as well, saying one of the strongest things you can have is a Catholic school across the parking lot from you, because you have a guaranteed community already there with a single purpose of raising children of character, of principle, and children in love with Jesus Christ. Well, if there is any better community to be bringing into the bigger parish community, I don't know what it is.
You are listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me today is Greg Duvetter. And Greg Duvetter is the superintendent of schools here at the Diocese of Orange. And we're talking about Catholic schools because this is Catholic Schools Week. And when we come back, we'll continue this talking a little bit more about the Catholic schools in the Diocese of Orange. Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we are broadcasting high atop the Tower of Hope here in beautiful Garden Grove, California at Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. With me today is Greg Duvetter, who is the superintendent of schools for the Diocese of Orange. And we were talking in our first section, Greg, about the nature of family in the Catholic schools and how that has served to be a generator of faith renewal, really, within not only individual families, but the parish themselves. I want to go back a little bit, though. I want to ask, where did Catholic schools come from in the Diocese of Orange? And if you can, why did they come to exist in the United States anyway? I mean, we do have, you know, free education that's been available for quite some time. Why Catholic schools, and what's been our story?
If you go back to the origin of Catholic schools in the United States, you learn about a lot about your Catholic schools today. The Catholic schools in the United States were formed at a time of a great deal of persecution of Catholics, and so they were havens for young Catholic students and ways to preserve the faith and the culture of these Catholics. But it wasn't only for Catholic students. From the very start, Catholic schools have not only had Catholic students, they were specifically designed for the poor. Ways that the church could reach out to the poor of the area, often new immigrants into the country, to raise them up and bring them into the Catholic American lifestyle. Now, I hooked on a little bit later than that. We already were in place with many of our schools prior to the Diocese of Orange, starting in 1976. We already had a good number of our schools. We've opened a few of our schools then. And unfortunately, we had to close a couple of schools a few years ago. But now we have 41 schools. We go from La Habra to San Clemente, and we go from Yorba Linda all the way to the beach. We are covering the entire diocese.
It sounds like a very varied demography. There's a lot of different kinds of people in a lot of different areas, and it sounds like that's a lot to take in to be able to cover all that. How are you able to serve so many different communities?
Well, if I talk to you, I'll tell you it's practically impossible, and I'm working myself to death. When I talk to other superintendents, I said, I have the easiest job in the world.
You need to explain that one.
I have a diocese where I can reach any school in 40 minutes from my office. So I'm able to get out and be actually present at all of my schools, whereas many other superintendents have to go many, many hours or a day to get to some of their schools. Our schools are closely served by a diocesan office. And because of that, we've really worked hard at creating a system of schools, not little independent schools all going their own way, but a group of schools with many shared directions and shared values as we move forward beyond their Catholic. We're trying to move a system of schools to be efficient, to work well, and to provide the best of education. And we do that through our programs of Catholic formation that you'll find in every one of our schools. And you will also find it in academic programs, such as our advanced technology program, which is probably the foremost in all the Catholic dioceses in the country.
All right. Well, let's talk about that for a moment then. What's so great about the technology program then?
Well, we have three features to our technology program that are not present in any other diocese that I'm aware of. The first is every one of our schools has sufficient bandwidth and Wi-Fi service. We did this for the entire diocese. In fact, we have one contract for bandwidth for all of our schools. So we treat this as a diocesan ministry to provide bandwidth, because bandwidth, as you're seeing right here, is the means of education these days. We couple that also with the fact that our students are served by a single student information system, so parents can go from school to school, and the data they're going to be receiving will be the same and the same level of services, whether they are in some of the schools in the more affluent areas of the county or if they're some of the poorer areas. The services through the student information system are going to be the same.
Well, let me plumb that for just a moment, because you've got a third component, but I went before I get there. So what you're talking about is essentially the parent communication system, the parent interaction, grade systems, those kinds of things.
Exactly. Now, in many places, different schools, almost every school uses a system like this, and some of them are very good, and some of them are challenged. And it all depends on what the school can afford and what
challenged.
The
I like that. Nice euphemism.
But the schools here will all be using a system that we find to be the best to meet our needs right now. And we're continually evaluating to see if there's always something better to do that. But we'll move together, because one of the things that I started with when I started 7 years ago is saying we don't do anything for our most affluent schools that we don't do for the schools that are the most challenged along the way. And the third is, of course, we are one-to-one at some grades of every school in the diocese, meaning single device per student at some of the grades.
Wow.
And we are the only Catholic diocese in this country that does this.
Wow.
And that's a growing program. We reached that goal 2 years ago. And we're always launching new things. For example, we have one diocesan digital library, so all of our students have access to all the resources that are available through this digital library, which, of course, is going to grow as traditional resources have a different role in the future.
Wow, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I am currently going to UC Riverside studying towards a doctorate, but I have two master's degrees. One was a brick-and-mortar school. The other one was online. And that was a master's in education online, and I can tell you that the first couple of classes I felt really challenged because I had not been prepared for that. The kids that you're describing now are coming out of your program, and they will have been immersed in technology at the highest level, and they will have been immersed in the ability to use that technology to enhance their education. So they're prepared for what I would call in my old age this modern world.
And I think it's very evolutionary. The students in the elementary schools don't take online classes, but they have online tools, which are really wonderful when they are used effectively. Online tools can work to the level of each individual student in a classroom. A teacher can't do that at once. Our teachers are the most wonderful teachers in the world, and a teacher like that who is helped by online resources can really individualized instruction for students. Then when you get into high schools, most of our high schools either offer or actually require students to take online courses as part of the overall curriculum that they take, with the idea being the way our colleges are set up right now, you're going to get an online course at some point. If we are preparing students for tomorrow, we have to make sure that they're ready to do that too.
So let me get this straight then. The kids that go into the high school and through high school, they're going to take most of their coursework there at the campus, but they have not just some of their assignments are online, but they actually have full coursework that's online for entire courses?
There are opportunities for that. The wonderful thing about that is a school can offer something that it wouldn't be able to offer because there might be not enough demand. And some of the schools are moving towards making that mandatory as part of their graduation requirements.
So give me an example. What kind of a class is being offered right now in one of the high schools?
Well, you can certainly see a lot of remedial classes, but there are also mathematical classes that are being added that are not offered or areas that are more advanced. And we're looking at trying to add others along the way.
So this is a real enhancement. This really opens the opportunity for kids, especially those who are either on the one end so advanced that they're bored to tears in a regular class, or on the other end, those that need a little extra help and a little extra time to be able to make it go, they have some accommodation that they're able to get that way as well.
Right. And I think the thing that we'd say is, A, that's not possible unless you have one-to-one. And that's why we said we have to do this. And why, when we finally reached the one-to-one goal, I said, okay, now we're at the starting point. Because now we have to make all this work for the advantages of students. And that's what we're doing with trying to be sensitive to the needs of students as they move forward into their lives. You and I every day use technology. And if our students don't use technology in their classrooms, they're not going to be the best prepared for the lives they're going to be leading.
Amen.
I'm not sure what it's going to be, but I'm certain about that fact. And I also believe that, but having them there at the school is still an advantage. Because even if I can get data from another source, I can't get taught ways to live. And our schools are for something that is more important now. Our schools are taught, how do you be a good citizen? How do you be a good Catholic? How do you work with others on projects? Those are going to be very important skills, and skills too often neglected in people moving into the workplace.
See, that's what the one thing that I remember having gone through. I taught both elementary and high school, and the one thing that was common amongst it all was that shared experience of Catholic living, the idea that you are surrounded by people who are grounded in this Catholic faith so that you're learning all these technologies. You might be learning in an AP class that frankly has a very similar curriculum, scope, and sequence to what's being taught down at the public school, but you're doing it in a context of Christ.
Absolutely. In fact, I go so far as to say it's many of the things that we needed school for in the past, we don't need school for anymore because we have access to more information online than we ever had before. But the things we do need school for, learning how to live together, learning how to work together, learning how to problem solve and use that information appropriately, frankly, can be done better at a Catholic school than it can at a public school. If we maximize this, we're going to be entering what I consider to be a new golden age of Catholic schools because the skills that we have are what are most needed for our young people, whatever path their life may take.
When we come back, I want to go ahead and touch on that because I know that what you've just described is very exciting, and it's something that I think people that are listening who haven't maybe looked at Catholic schools in a while might now have quite an interest in finding out more information. When we come back, though, I want to ask about how we're reaching out to those who are not necessarily rich or well-endowed, because this is not an elitist system either. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, coming to you from the fine offices of Immaculate Heart Radio, high atop the Tower of Hope. And with me today has been Greg Duvetter, and Greg has been very brave to talk to us about Catholic schools. Although I will say this, having heard you before, and I've had the privilege of hearing you before, you do this very well. You seem to enjoy yourself when you're able to talk about Catholic schools. And that's a really nice thing to be able to hear.
Put a microphone in front of me and say Catholic schools and I go.
There we go. So with that in mind, we have the microphone and we're about to say go. But before we do, I want to change direction just a little bit. One of the schools that I served at was located right at the juxtaposition between the richest area in town with million-dollar homes and the poorest area in town where the median home was probably about $80,000, really that low. And there was about a mile and a half one way or a mile and a half the other way, and we had kids coming in from both ends. Now, they both came in the same uniforms, so there was an equality that we were able to get in there, but to get the kids in was a problem. Not so much for those who had the money, but for those who didn't, the immediate conception, especially for those who perhaps had immigrated to our country, was that Catholic schools are really for the elite. First of all, just point blank, is that true? And assuming it's not, why not?
Well, I would say that anyone who thinks that Catholic schools are for the elite needs to take a tour of our schools, and that means all of our schools. We have schools from the poorest neighborhoods in Orange County to the most affluent neighborhoods in Orange County, all of them Catholic schools, all of them teaching the faith to children wherever they are. We're able to serve more children today who struggle from financial need than we ever have before in any history of our schools.
Wow.
Let's face it, Catholic schools cost more than they've ever cost before. This is an evolutionary thing that has lots of reasons. We all know the reasons. When many of us went to Catholic school, when I started in Catholic school a million years ago, we had nuns teaching us whose salaries were, frankly, scandalously low.
Which is why we have to do the collections a couple times a year to support them.
I like to always say that's a school collection.
Yes.
Because you didn't pay it up front. Well, that's why parents, when I was young, paid $70 a year for Catholic education.
Well, they had the station wagon discount, too. Yeah, everybody, you can stuff in the back of the station wagon, they got a certain price.
Exactly. Well, of course, we have fewer sisters in our school, and it is not likely we're going to have all sisters in our school ever again. And, of course, so we are paying a professional lay teaching force, and we have to pay them in one of the most affluent counties in order to live in one of the most costly counties in the country.
Let me ask a question about that. So I used to get asked from time to time, are your teachers really as good as the public school teachers? Do you require as much? Are they trained as well? Can they really hold their own? And I used to kind of half laugh and then respond. In the Diocese of Orange, I'm sure that you would have a similar response. Are they as trained as the public school teachers?
Absolutely. Every teacher who teaches in our elementary or public schools must have a credential and or master's degree in their field and experience in teaching in their field. We have the best teachers in our Catholic schools, and they're fully qualified, and they are trained to deal with many different types of students and to train to deal with many different types of methodologies as methodologies change in our culture and in teaching.
Okay. I didn't want to take too much of an aside on that, but it seemed like an opportune time to ask, because the fact that they all are credentialed or they have their master's degree and they've got experience and they're being trained as well throughout their career through more training that I know is layered on, these really are some of the best schools that are around. That being said, we were talking about the differential between those in the more affluent areas and those in the poorer areas. I know that you have had some help or you've partnered with some people to try to help some schools. Talk a little bit about that. Take Santa Ana, for example. I know you've got a great program that's been happening down there.
We have a couple of things going on in Santa Ana to help bring in families, to make it possible for them to be there. And you can put out an invitation, but if people don't come, so we've had to put out a new type of invitation. We've partnered with the ACE program of the University of Notre Dame to develop a program called Madrinas, which is, of course, women and men from these schools who go out into their own neighborhoods and find other people and tell them Catholic schools are where you are supposed to be. You made a good point earlier saying that sometimes when people come from other cultures, they see Catholic schools as for the elite. Well, the Catholic schools here are not for the elite. Now, once we get them in the door, we have partnered, of course, with the Orange Catholic Foundation, who are incredibly generous in providing tuition assistance, and we're able to provide more each year to help students get into our schools. No families attend for nothing. It is important that families are paying according to their means, but we bring in every family that we can who are willing to pay according to their means into our schools. So I would hope that no family would ever hesitate to come in that door to find out whether this is a possibility for their children. It is my belief that every Catholic family should check out the opportunity for Catholic schools for their children.
So let's talk for a moment about the Orange Catholic Foundation. What started that, and then what is their strategy, and how are you using them?
Well, the Orange Catholic Foundation is the lifeblood of Catholic schools in many ways. They were started many years ago as a separate foundation where people can donate money, and it can be definitely going to the sources they want it to go to, through the pastoral services appeal of the diocese and through a major event each year, the Conference on Business and Ethics. They raise money and give out over $2 million every year in tuition assistance to students, all needs-based. It's going to be needs-based tuition, often at these schools that you're describing. So they have been the salvation of our schools. We are also seeing there that we are building endowments for the long term. There's essentially right now $10 million in endowment for school tuition. And we're building up a special endowment that will also be in the Orange Catholic Foundation, specifically for three schools in Santa Ana, St. Joseph's, St. Anne's, and School of Our Lady. We've grouped these schools into what we call the Marian Alliance. It is three schools with one main identity, where they have the same tuition for whatever school the family is closest to, the same source of tuition assistance, the same programs. So even though the schools are three different schools at three different parishes, there is one solid program, and we're able to support that at a much higher level than we would be able to support individual schools that weren't working together.
That is very cool. So you're basically taking these schools that are from areas that otherwise demographically would suffer, and instead of consolidating the schools and instead of closing schools, you're collaborating with each other and then bringing in extra help.
Really, if you look at the statistics across the country, consolidation of schools tends to not work. I'm not saying it can't work, but as soon as you move two schools into one, it has the smell of closure, and parents get nervous about that. Frankly, parents need to be confident that the schools that they are in are going to be there for 8 years or for 9 years, of however long their students are going to be there. Well, we've created this alliance, and you'll be going to your parish school. And from the outside, it looks like three schools. From the inside, it looks like one. I mean, they still have their own sports teams. They still have their own identity. They still compete with one another. But in terms of finance, in terms of support, in terms of working with families, and we are, of course, able to raise money for them in a much better way than we could have if they were three individual schools.
Okay, so we have the demographics of what, frankly, is one of the poorer areas of the diocese. You have some of the dynamics, some of the more wealthy areas of the diocese. So let's just take, for example, if I were to go down to St. Edward's, just for example, I know that's a fairly wealthy area down there. Am I going to get a better education if I go to St. Edward's, so to speak, overall, than if I go to, did you say St. Mary's is one of the ones in Santa Ana? Is there going to be a significant differentiation in the quality of education that my child would get one to the other?
The school is St. Anne's in Santa Ana.
St. Anne's, I'm sorry.
The students will get the best education at St. Edward's, and they will get the best education at St. Anne's. St. Edward's is a huge school.
It is.
Huge schools are sometimes able to offer extra programs and some extra things that may not be possible in a smaller school. But in terms of what goes on in the classroom, in terms of the resources that went on in the classroom, it's an interesting fact. St. Anne's had one-to-one technology a year before St. Edward's did.
Oh, wow.
Because what we did is we said people who need it the most get it the first. And we made possible through grants and other opportunities to make one-to-one possible in St. Anne's. So you're going to see first-rate education. We don't have inner-city schools. We have excellent schools throughout our diocese.
Which is such a fantastic program, because I know that the Madrinas program, for example, which Notre Dame has done a lot of work on trying to reach out to especially those who have come in from Hispanic backgrounds where in a number of the countries where they come from, the Catholic schools locally in those countries could be considered elitist. And so the idea when you come to the United States that you have a Catholic school, well, that's not for me. And what's been so wonderful about the ACE program, and I'm so glad to hear that you've linked into this so well in especially the schools in Santa Ana, is the Madrinas program reaching out and saying, one-to-one, family-to-family, no, this is about your children, and we love your children. This is about Christ, and how do we bring them into an education that is centered in Christ? And yes, this is open to you as well.
And if you look at the demographics of our parishes, and you look at the demographics of our area, if we are not reaching out to these immigrant families, we are going to have a very different future for our church.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me is Greg Duvetter. We're talking about Catholic schools, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today has been Greg Duvetter. And Greg, I want to thank you so much for bringing both your knowledge and expertise, as well as your what's clearly a heartfelt love for Catholic education to our program. So our listening audience, especially those who are not involved yet for whatever reason in Catholic education, so they can hear the enthusiasm, the excitement, as well as that expertise in your voice. Thank you so much for that. I want to ask you, we've been talking a lot about some nuts and bolts of the schools and what the realities are within the Diocese of Orange and how well the diocese has really taken on the challenge of making sure that every child that wants a Catholic education can have that opportunity. But I want to ask you now, you're going around this week and you're looking at Catholic education as being presented in Catholic Schools Week. What are you seeing that makes you happy?
I want to give you two stories on the spectrum there. Last Sunday, I was at St. Sarah Catholic School, probably our largest, definitely our largest school, and probably one of the most affluent areas in Rancho Santa Margarita. Every year, St. Sarah School holds a luncheon. It's called the Seasons Luncheon. And what it does, it brings all of her families together to have a very nice lunch, and every table is decorated, each one with a different theme, and I think that becomes the most competitive thing of the day. And so we had probably about 200 people there, and the whole point of it was to raise money for two reasons. Number one, to recognize that there are families at Sarah who need tuition assistance. Just because you're in an affluent area doesn't mean that you can't have things happen to you that make it hard. But the second thing is to raise money for the Marian Alliance. The president of St. Sarah a long time ago said, I'm going to make this my own focus, and I'm going to make this my school focus. And their school works dramatically to raise money and to assist the three schools of the Marian Alliance. So we started Catholic Schools Week off with our arguably wealthiest school doing an act of service for the schools that don't have quite so much. But let me go to the schools that, quote-unquote, don't have so much. This morning I was at the School of Our Lady, which is on the grounds of Immaculate Heart Church. And I have told everyone in my staff that when they go to Mass on Friday, if you're ever having a bad week, I say you're going to go to Immaculate Heart for Mass when the kids have Mass. You have never heard children sing louder. You've never heard children respond more.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
And you've never seen as much joy as there. I was there with principals from schools, high schools, and others saying, we're going to start bringing our high school kids in here to watch, to see what it can be when people are responding. I was talking to Father Ed Petkin, who is a pastor. He said, I wish people on my Sunday masses would respond as loudly and as clearly as these children, and sing as much as these children do. It's sometimes hard for kids to respond during Mass, and to see that the most joyful, most enthusiastic responses happen every week at one of our schools in Santa Ana, always makes me feel good. And there's never a week when I send someone over there. And it is truly what we do when we feel down. And everyone comes back re-energized because it's we're doing the right stuff.
That's fantastic. So I want to parse that just a little bit. The first school story that you were talking about is probably one of the wealthiest, and their focus for the week, at least beginning of the week, was for people who are in need. And then the second school was, regardless of what our need is, we're making a joyful noise unto the Lord, and this is how we embrace God.
Right. And these are both strong schools. And these are schools with students who will go on to our good Catholic schools, whether it's down in Santa Margarita or up in Santa Ana, and they will be successful. We have had students from our Marian Alliance School, St. Joseph, St. Anne's, and School of Our Lady, go on through Mater Dei or Servite or Rosary or other schools, and then end up in Ivy League schools. Only a couple of years ago, the student body president of Mater Dei came from St. Joseph's School in Santa Ana. So these are students who do succeed.
Wow.
And what I like to argue is these are the true points of light, these schools. A student who goes to school in Santa Margarita will face many challenges in public school, but they have a lot of advantages no matter what school they go to. These students do not have many advantages in these schools in Santa Ana. These schools are changing their lives. I like to argue that they have the biggest impact of any of our schools, and therefore they're the most important. We really strongly, and our bishop, Bishop Van, is wonderful on this, that we must support all of our schools. We must make them all viable and growing and vibrant, because Catholic schools are not a luxury for the rich. They have to exist. If they're going to exist in our more well-off areas, they must exist in the areas of need.
Do we have any hope into the future that you haven't talked about just yet? What do we have on the horizon for Catholic schools that you're hoping for? Everyone has hopes. What are the hopes and dreams for Catholic education in the Diocese of Orange?
As I told you, we have a lot of concerns, obviously, about money, and we have to continue to face the money issues. But we are seeing people come forward at a level that they haven't before and saying, how can I get involved? And I like to say there are three ways that people can get involved, and people are picking this up. Number one, if you're a family with students, go to your local Catholic school. Take a tour. Talk to the principal. Look in the eyes of the students. And we see the new world of the Catholic Church at our schools every day. The second, if you maybe don't have children or your children are grown, can you make it possible for another student to go? Maybe through a donation of some sort to help with tuition. And the third, and what I really believe strongly is helping us along the way, is I ask everyone I speak to pray for Catholic schools, not just once in a while and not just during Catholic Schools Week, but to make it, and I would ask of your audience as well, please make it part of your daily petitions that you would pray for Catholic schools and their success going forward. We are finding ways to increase the amount of giving of the people who have in this very wealthy county to help make it possible for the people who have not. This new endowment for the Marian Alliance Schools should be the launching point for a larger endowment, we hope, and then we'll be able to put together enough corpus in that endowment that we will be able to make it possible. What I wish I could say to every family is, come today, if you're willing to pay what you are, according to your means, I guarantee you a place in our school. That will cost us a lot. I don't have that much money today, but every day we move closer. Every year we accept more students than we were able to accept the year before, and we're going to continue to do that moving into the future.
When we're looking at people who might have some means to be able to give, how would they go about doing that?
Well, they call me on my cell phone, and then I'll give them. They can contact the office, the Department of Catholic Schools, or they can work directly. Probably the best way is work directly through the Orange Catholic Foundation. And they have many Catholic schools funds that are available and many ways to give.
And if it turns out that you've got, let's say, grandparents who had already sent their grandkids through school, and they still would like to give, would that be a time perhaps to talk to the local principal?
Yes, you certainly can do that as well. I'm many of our principals keep a fund, especially for students who can't afford, and they're able to help students along the way. And you know, it's not just students who are poor from birth. We have families where someone loses a job or a death of a parent, and the principals sometimes have to say, I'm going to find the money to keep your child in Catholic school when they need it most. And these gifts directly to schools make that possible.
If you were to tell a parent one thing that you would really want them to know about Catholic schools, in summary, what would that be?
If you want your student to be a lifetime Catholic, to love Jesus Christ, and to be successful and happy in their life, there is not a better option than Catholic schools. There are other options that will get them there, but there is no better option than Catholic schools. And we want you.
Wow. Mr. Dovetter, Greg, thank you so very much for coming in. I am so glad you had a chance to talk with us today. I am so thrilled to hear about the wonderful things that are going on in Catholic education in the Diocese of Orange. I know that this broadcast is going to be heard by many other dioceses as well, the Diocese of Los Angeles, the Diocese of San Diego, the Diocese of San Bernardino, and I know that they all have very good Catholic schools that are also doing some similar things, and they're doing it very well as well. So thank you for being a representative to all of them. But for those of us who are in the Diocese of Orange, thank you so much for acquainting the intimacy of what we've got. Would you please lead us in a brief word of prayer for our audience?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you.
You're welcome.
In the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Lord, now we pray for this audience. We hope that the words that you've heard may stir you, may make you feel better about the future of the schools and our church, and may move those with children to visit the local Catholic schools, because we know that they're going to find the treasure that they're looking for. We ask our blessing on all of our schools, all of our teachers, and we ask for the blessing on the schools across this country. In the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen.
Once again, Mr. Dovetter, thank you so very much for coming in. The Catholic schools are well served, and especially here in the Diocese of Orange, and I deeply appreciate you taking the time to come in on this Catholic Schools Week. For those who would like to get more information on their own individual school, they can either contact their individual school or they can call the Office of Catholic Schools in the Diocese of Orange, and they will route them to the right people to talk to.
Or the website occatholicschools.org.
That is fantastic. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me today has been Greg Dovetter, who is the superintendent of schools, and I thank all of you for listening. You've been listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we'll see you again next week.